And good morning, everyone, or good evening, depending on where you are and what time you're listening. We have a very cool show again because we are still in the holiday time. So we always get these questions from people, and even my private behavioral patients, of course, they're asking, well, you know, I want to include the dog. I want to include my cat in all the holiday festivities. And to different people, that means different things. Now, to me, when I have all my dogs, yeah, they can be out with people. They're not going to steal their food. They're not going to, you know, jump on an older person. They're not going to be barking at everyone who comes in the door. But more importantly, for a lot of you, based on the questions and just experience I've had over the last umpteen years, is when is it not good for the dog? Forget about the people who, oh, I don't want you to see my dog. I don't want you to, you know, that's fine, but sometimes it's just not good for your dog. So, you know, I'm going to go over a lot of things today, and I think this is going to help a lot of people who are, you know, just kind of stuck in like, well, you know, I want to tell about, you know, what's going on. I want everybody to love my dog. I want everybody to, you know, include my dog. But how about if your dog doesn't really want to be included? Sometimes cats are like that, too. And a lot of cats, when I go in as a behaviorist and I'm talking to people who have a dog, I'm working with a dog. I can't tell you how many times people will come to me and they'll say, Janice, I can't believe my cat is coming out. And it's like rubbing on your leg. My cat never comes out, ever. For anybody, even when she knows somebody. And you know why that is? Because my energy, right? Because what I've done my whole life, and since I was a little kid, my first word, apparently, according to my dad, was the word pony. I totally get that. I actually believe that wholeheartedly. My second word was probably puppy, and my third was probably mommy, then daddy. So I'm just saying, I am one of those animal people that a lot of you are very much like. You just loved animals. You don't even know when you started. You just remember being alive, taking your first breath, and like, oh, look, puppy. Or, oh, look, whatever it is, animals you love. So the thing is that I understand many of you want to include your animals in the holiday festivities. You know, from Thanksgiving, we talked pre-Thanksgiving about this too. But, you know, we have to separate what's best for the animal and healthiest for the animal from what we want. It's kind of like you decide you want one of your kids to be an Olympic skier or, you know, some kind of race car driver, and your kid doesn't like fast and high speeds. Yes, you can certainly work on it, but why would you do that if you know that the person or the animal has a natural tendency to not like something? Find what their joy is. Find what their happy place is. So, for instance, when you have holiday hazards, which I call it, with, let's say, small kids that come, babies that come, guests who don't listen to whatever you ask them, please, please, please don't give the dog whatever it is. Please, please, please don't let your kids chase my cat or chase my puppy around. But it's more than that. You have, basically, if you were entering a business deal, something called due diligence, right? It's your job to make sure that everything is done right. And now we're dealing with people. We're dealing with sometimes people who may imbibe of the grape. And if you have somebody who kind of clearly doesn't listen and they're not over at your house a lot, and you know that whatever you tell them is basically going to go into the hollow chamber between their shoulders and come out the other side as a giant echo, it's really important for you to set boundaries and set guidelines. Now, we've talked about how you can do that with food by putting out approved treats and letting people give, if there are those people who are just going to do it no matter what. Having people feed your dog or your cat from the table, especially a dog, is, you know, yes, it's not great, but that's not going to get you a lawsuit. Might get you in the ER, but if you give approved treats that you've set out there, that gets rid of that problem. However, when a dog especially bites or scratches or jumps on a child, it's a whole other situation. I've actually had a very, very sad story that was kind of heartbreaking. It was actually with a golden retriever, really nice dog, a golden, yes, purebred golden from a, you know, I wouldn't say it was a good breeder, but it was a purebred dog, very sweet. And this golden was out at like a campfire with the family. Dog was very sweet. It was one of my patients up at my practice. And what happened was the phone rang, of course, up there. I got the referral. And I said, you know, my standard questions, you know, what happened? How long ago did it happen? Who was involved? And what do you think you could have done to change it? The family was absolutely just lovely, and they were devastated. They were in tears, and the gentleman who owned the dog, the father, and they had two kids, a boy and a girl, he broke down into tears with me on the phone. So you're talking about, like, one of those owners that is just the best, the ones who want to do everything right, the ones who feel so horribly that they let their pet down. So when I tell you this story, I don't want you to think, oh, yeah, those people were negligent, or, you know, those people shouldn't have, you know, done that. Because these are those people who you want as a client. They do exactly what you ask. They are very knowledgeable dog people. They've had dogs their whole life. I know I hear that all the time. I make fun of it sometimes. I've had dogs my whole life, but I've never had one like this. I get it. But what I'm telling you is these were the dream clients, the dream owners that I would sell one of my Ridgeback puppies to in a heartbeat and know that that dog was going to be with the best family ever. So basically what happened was they were out at a family gathering, and the entire family, extended family, et cetera, would go a couple times a year for these camping trips. They would have a campfire. They'd have all the Adirondack chairs around the fire. They'd have the grandparents, the parents, the cousins, the dogs. Everybody came. The kids, it was all, kids would come back from college. There were little ones. There were grandkids. And it just was a beautiful, beautiful situation for these animals. They really got to be out in nature. They were all well-behaved. And this golden was about a year and a half old. It was just out of the fear, impact, flight, instinct phases. And what was interesting, though, about this was the child who was involved in the incident was a child who had some issues, probably ADHD, maybe a little, you know, bit on the spectrum, obviously, but nice, good kid, just didn't follow rules. So they had the campfire, and this is going to be one of those whodunits. So as I'm telling you the story, which is completely 100% true, doing this from memory, as you guys know, I don't write notes. I don't follow an agenda. I go where God and the wind tell me to go in that particular show. So I'm just going to throw it out there. So when the family went, as they had done before, and of course it was at night, it was campfire, you know, fun time in the summer, and it was beautiful out. So they had the Adirondack chairs all in a row, and like kind of a circle around the fire. As they were just basically hanging out, having a couple of drinks and, you know, some whatever they were having, the kids were having, they heard a crazy sound. Nobody knew what it was. They thought maybe the fire had popped and a log had blown out or sparks or something. Everybody started screaming. And they're right there. They're right in the thick of things, in the middle of this campfire situation. And they look over, and one of the kids is holding his face and bleeding. And they can see the blood coming from the kid's face, coming down below where he was holding his face with his hands. Terrifying. Again, nobody knows what happened because it's at night. There's a lot of chaos. Everybody's, you know, talking and laughing, and we don't know because we think this the screaming is that maybe something happened with the fire and the fire came out and burned him or hit his eye or something. Well, unfortunately, the little guy got injured pretty significantly. He is okay now, but it was very terrifying for this family because what had happened was this young man who was, I guess, about 8 or 9 years old, came over next to them, but behind them where the dog was just at the edge of where the two Adirondack chairs came together, the dog had backed up. The little boy didn't take that sign because nobody had taught him that. Nobody had taught him, don't stick your face near a dog's face, even if it's the best dog in the world, and especially don't do that when there's fire and loud and chaos going on, because guess what? Whatever is around that animal, unless that animal is one of our service dogs, like a noble service dog that's trained for everything like that, even then you shouldn't do it. But our dogs, at least, I know I can trust every one of our dogs. But you can't just trust a young dog, an old dog, any dog in a situation like that. And it would have been much better idea for them to keep that dog back at the lodge because it was pet friendly. But they wanted to include the dog. Well, what happened? The dog, and I'm not going to give you the dog's name, let's just call him Fluffy, okay? Fluffy was between two Adirondack chairs. And if you guys know what they are, the fronts and the backs spread out a lot. So this dog tried to back up away from the child. The owners, who didn't do anything wrong, but the owners didn't think twice about, hey, this kid is back here with, remember, it's at night, the fire is burning, it's flickering, it's clicking, it's blasting, it's exploding. Everyone's, you know, feeling no pain. And this dog, for whatever reason that day, like I said, it was a young dog, about 18 months old. The dog felt very threatened by the child coming toward him, trying to grab his face with both hands, the dog's face. And as the boy kept coming forward, the parents didn't think that anything would happen because it never had happened before. So what happened? Well, you guessed it. The little boy came at the dog. The dog, well, lunged toward the boy, you know, and not that the whole body went forward, just the kid was coming at the dog, and the dog bit the little boy in the face. Pretty significant bite, too. Just horrible, because it is the nicest family in the world. But long story short, child is okay, great plastic surgeon, but what a disaster. Now, the family had to drive back from their vacation early. The mom was just devastated. They didn't know what to do. Should they put the dog to sleep? What should they do? Thank God they called me and not just a local, you know, local dog trainer who, you know, teaches dogs to sit, because that's clearly a behavioral issue. This is a behavioral issue, you know, and that's one thing is the difference between, and I will go into that later, between a behaviorist and a trainer, because they both have, you know, a definite place in the world, but you have to really, yeah, know the difference, and I'm going to go into that a little bit after our break. So, long story short, where did we go wrong? Where did the family, where did this lovely, lovely family go wrong? Well, the first thing they did was bringing the dog to the fire, okay? Because obviously nothing would have happened because the dog wouldn't have been there. The second thing was dogs and most animals behave very differently at night versus daytime. At night, the difference is, like, even with you, think about with you, kids who have nightmares or kids who, oh, mommy, don't turn out the light. I get afraid of the dark. Well, guess what? Animals get afraid of the dark, but in a different way. It's not so much a fear, but an alertness at night. And what happens is when you are nervous, you might retract or retreat. Some people might punch. Some people might run. It's fight or flight, right? Depending on if it's fear or dominance that guides it. So the first part of this is that in order for the dogs to have had a good chance at being good, everybody should have been introduced during the day. And everybody, including especially the children, should have learned how to approach and how not to approach an animal. So, for instance, this Golden was a great dog, but it was fearful, and this little kid came toward it, and the dog could not back away because the way the chairs were set up, the fire was actually kind of almost behind them, so the dog knew it couldn't back up. The way the chairs were, it was almost like being in the corner of a wall, even tighter. So when the dog backed up, the fire was behind it, which made it fearful. The chairs were physically preventing it, and the kid was coming right at them from the top of the ice cream cone, so to speak, from where the ice cream was, and the cone was behind it, the pointier part at the back. So the dog had nowhere to go. It literally couldn't go anywhere. And this kid came toward it, and, well, what happened, happened. How could we have prevented that? First of all, anytime you're going to have kids around, remember, I can kid-proof my dogs, but I don't think you're going to be able to dog-proof your kids. I can, you know, an old person who doesn't listen to us, proof my dogs, but I can't, go the other way. I can fix whatever it is, but I can't fix, no, I'm not going to say that word, I'm not going to say can't fix stupid, I can't fix ignorance. It's not always a stupid thing, because people beat themselves up, good owners beat themselves up when you hear these things, because they say, but in retrospect, right, hindsight is 2020, right? Hindsight is perfect. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done that. Well, if we could all do that, we would all be living very different lives because we wouldn't have made mistakes. There wouldn't be car accidents. There wouldn't be medical malpractice. There wouldn't be anything. There wouldn't be dog bites because you'd say, if I had known that, I would have not opened the front door to get the mail. I would have put the dog in the crate and then done it because my dog ran out the door. Or, you know, in this situation or countless situations. So you can't beat yourself up about it because it already happened. All you can do is learn from it. And the part that bothers me is most of the people who call me and need help, and they say, hey, Janice, I've had dogs my whole life. I've never had a dog like this. Or I've never had a situation like this. I've always been the one who was, you know, my kid getting bitten by another dog, my grandma getting jumped on. It's never been my dog. And I always thought that I was kind of above that. You know, like I knew enough to keep my family and the rest of the world safe from an animal. But the point is, you've never been this age before. You've never been married before with two young kids. The last three dogs you had, you were a single guy, or you had your parents' dogs that you were just kind of there, and you got to walk them, but you didn't take care of them. You didn't train them. So you can't beat yourself up because we can't go backward. It'd be great if we could, but we can't. So what can we do? How can we make things safer? Not just for our animals, but for those around us. Make sure that you educate people. I know people are going to say things, and they're going to say, oh, you know, this is something terrible because, you know, this is, you know, I made a mistake. Well, right. Okay, well, we've all made mistakes. If you're alive to this day, listening to this show right this moment, you have made countless mistakes. You have not been an A++++ student, never getting one single answer wrong on your SAT or your LSATs or MCATs or GREs or GMATs or, you know, whatever you want to go for. You have not ever parked a little too closely to somebody in the parking lot and they scratched your door or you scratched theirs. There are a million mistakes, a million things we do. Stop beating yourself up because dogs will not follow a weak energy or an unstable energy. And when you get weaker and feel really, really badly about what's gone on, I understand that. And that's great that you have that feeling of commitment and remorse, but it doesn't change anything. You have to change something. If you don't change something, nothing's going to change. right? That's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. I'm going to add one to that. Craziness is continuing to beat yourself up for something that you cannot change. And I know right now there's a lady in Utah crying. There's somebody in New Jersey going, oh, my gosh, I think she's got closed-circuit TVs in my house because this is exactly what just happened and this is how I feel. I get it. I've worked with tens of thousands of dogs, and that's tens and tens of thousands of humans. I know animal behavior, but, boy, I know people behavior even better, because the people who have the attitude of, I know everything, you guys get in trouble a lot, but you're not the ones listening to the show because you can teach me. You know everything in the world. I'm not talking to you. You're not on the show. But those of you who really love your animals and want to learn more. I know there. I've had, listen, how many countless obedience trainers, champions, like number one in the country, literally, who have come to me and asked me for behavioral help. Obedience is not at all the same thing as behavioral. Behavior is in the brain, right? So think about it. And I ask all my clients this, and they always get it wrong. When that golden retriever bit that little boy in the face, what part of that golden retriever bit the little boy? And people say to me, the mouth? And I go, no. And they're like, oh, yeah, the teeth. And I say, no. And then they look at me dumbfounded. Well, I don't know. Well, I would think it would be the teeth because the teeth are what bit the kid or the mouth. Or whatever, and I say, you're on the right appendage, but you're in the wrong place. Right church, wrong pew, so to speak. Okay? What part of the dog bit that child was not the teeth, was not the mouth. They didn't randomly just jump off the dog like an old cartoon where the false teeth start chattering and doing things. It's the brain. The dog's brain bit the child. A dog's brain or a person's brain, like you think of, the guns don't kill people, people kill people. Yes, that's right. If you have it in your heart that you want to hurt somebody, you're going to hurt somebody using whatever tool or device or weapon you happen to have. Well, guess what? Dogs don't have that ability. They can either run or they can bite. It's fight, flight, avoid, or submit. Now, the dog didn't want to fight. It didn't want to do that. The dog didn't want to submit and lay down because he was scared, okay? The dog had no choice but to retreat backward, but he couldn't retreat backward. Why couldn't he do that? Because there was a fire and a point where the Adirondack chairs came together that he could not get away. And therein lies the problem. If they would have been on the end, if the dog would have had a little more space, the dog would have been able to back up from the child. But the dog had no choice but to do what it did because in his head he felt threatened. Yes, by a little 8 or 9 year old kid. Listen, I mean, some of us have felt threatened by younger than that. So the point being, we have to set our dogs up for success, not for failure. We have to be the ones who do the right thing and who tell the dog what is safe and what is not safe. So how did this end up? We had the fire. We had it at night. We had a lot of people who were drinking. We had a lot of great families coming together, a lot of other animals. You're talking for a young dog, and it's his first year doing this. Chaos. So before you do something like that, it's not like you can't do it because my dogs would be laying there sleeping near the fire. But what you have to do is get the dog used to being in that similar situation. So you go somewhere at night. You go to have a campfire in your own yard. I mean, preferably now that we've had rain in northern Jersey, we're okay doing that, doing it obviously safely. Get the dog used to your fireplace, sitting near your fireplace, so that it's used to these things before you're taking them out. I hate when people do what I call flooding the dog. My terminology, you're flooding the dog. So So you're giving him too many things at once. And that's where you set your dog up for failure, by giving him too much to do and too much to think about. Flooding your dog is like flooding a child. So when you give a child too much, especially a kid with special needs, let's say on the autism spectrum, what happens? The child all of a sudden freaks out, starts screaming, having a meltdown, tantrum, whatever we want to call it. And you know whose fault it was? It's not that it's our fault, but if we can set that child or animal up for success by breaking down that entire situation, because we as people, oh, look, I'm going to have some, you know, some soup. I'm making some vegetable soup. So we look at it as vegetable soup being the fire and the whole situation with the family, with the golden. Or we look at it as going to grandma and grandpa's house. That is flooding a dog, or flooding a child with autism or with other special needs, or anybody with sensory issues or PTSD sometimes, which is what we do with our service dogs. We flood our service dogs once we have done a very important thing. Break down that activity into multiple pieces, multiple segments. So get your dog used to the fireplace. Get your dog used to the, you know, chimera outside or a fire pit outside, quietly, calmly, until the animal's used to it. Then get the dog used to separately, not with the fire, with people there and kids running around. That's all fine. Then get your dog used to things at night. Then get your dog used to the Adirondack chairs and being into an area that, you know, the dog is going to be safe and feel safe. Then start putting the pieces together. Now, it sounds like that's going to take you forever. It's not. That could be done in 15 minutes. For me. Maybe it takes you a few days or a week. You do different things until the animal or the child is comfortable with that. Okay? And animals are a lot quicker to respond than humans. We know that because, you know, lock your wife in the, I'm not telling you to do this, this is a joke, lock your wife or husband in the trunk and lock your dog in the trunk and open it 15 minutes later and see who's going to be happy to see you. You know that joke? Okay. Animals are very forgiving and they don't need quite as much time. Now, along with this story though, it's important to know that when you have a young dog or an inexperienced dog or a new rescue dog, you don't know the triggers that landed it there and you don't know what has happened or what could happen during some of the fear phases that they go through. Especially a rescue dog, which this one was not. But the rescue dogs, we don't know why they ended up in rescue. So let's be extra careful, just not living, you know, like, oh my gosh, everything's going to happen. You know, Chicken Little, the sky is falling. But we really need to think of what it is that we should work on to make sure that we set that animal up for success. So in the story of the golden, we have to do things at night the same as we do things in day. We have to get them used to the fire and used to the flames during the day or in a comfortable situation. Remember, always, whether it's a service dog, a therapy dog, it's your pet, it's an emotional support animal, whatever it is, get the animal used to things one at a time where he is most comfortable. One of the things I talk about, and we'll go into it more often and in more detail in the summer, is fireworks. Don't bring your dog outside for the first time with fireworks. Get him used to things at home. And yes, I know you think I'm crazy, but it is possible to do that, getting them used to the noise in a comfortable place. And then you can work your way, and we'll talk about it before July 4th. We will go into that, how to do it. But that's how you set your animal up for success or your child up for success. Compartmentalize things. Break them down into a more simple form so that you will set your animal up for success. Well, I unfortunately have to break for a few minutes, and when we come back, we're going to talk about very cool stuff, including homemade dog foods and home-bought versus the sludge that is some of these pre-marketed garbage brands that you guys buy thinking they're good. We will be right back in a moment. And welcome back. We are, as promised, going to talk about homemade dog food and home bought versus that. I mean, it is sludge. I'm not going to use the names of brands because that wouldn't be nice, but you guys should be researching your own thing. Anytime you're purchasing something that has a lot of marketing, a lot of advertising, you know what that means? They're spending the money on the outside of it, on the advertising, the pretty package, the concept, versus actually putting it into the product. And you can pretty much put that with anything. When's the last time you saw a Rolls-Royce or Bentley commercial? When's the last time you saw an inexpensive car commercial? Right. It doesn't mean that it's good versus bad, because in that case, there's a price differential. But there's also a huge price differential with kibble and brands and different things, and understanding what's in that food versus some of these things that you buy online. They send you these packets of whatever crud and sludge is in it. And I'm going to tell you a couple of quick stories about that. I had a litter of puppies, beautiful litter of puppies. Both of them were grand champions, gold grand champions for the one parent, number two dog in the country. Really excellent litter, very well raised by me and my team of wonderful people. And these dogs were perfect. And I have three of that litter, so I know what that litter looks like. And they're gorgeous. They're absolutely stunning. Well, this particular puppy went to a lady who was going to train the dog to be a service dog, but was also going to show the dog because it happened to be my male pick of the litter. Beautiful dog. Lovely, 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 and very nice lady. But she, I guess, like a lot of people, felt like, oh, I don't want to give kibble, which is viable. If you don't want to give kibble, that's fine. But understand your breed and the line that the breeder has, and understand what it's going to do well with. Now, the reason I mention it is this is a product that if I said it to you, you'd go, oh, yeah, I've heard of that. It's somebody's dog, okay? It's a brand that, you know, it's a great brand, I'm sure, and a lot of people might think, but it's not a great brand for what I think and for a lot of veterinarians think. So I'm going to explain to you what happens without going into it, because there are quite a few products that are similar. When they're making commercially prepared, even though they say it's for your dog, you really know that? They have vats of crud, okay? A lot of times what they do is they'll put in maybe good stuff in there to start with, but there's a lot of fat, there's a lot of, I don't know what this particular stuff was. Well, anyway, the very nice lady gave us some of this food for the puppy when our puppies were on the very high-end kibble and some homemade toppers, which I'm going to explain to you and teach about in a little bit. We put the glass Pyrex containers that we mixed the food up in, that it was just that stuff, and we put it from the, you know, kind of sludgy-looking bag, and we put it in there so we could warm it up a little bit. We didn't heat it. We just took it out and mixed it around so we had it. It was easier to give out to the pup that way. And we took the bowl that we used on the sanitized cycle on a high-end, very expensive, really great dishwasher, human dishwasher, and we put it in there, and we took everything out, and the entire basket and bin of the dishwasher was coated with this, all I can describe it is as petroleum, like it was like Vaseline. It was disgusting. The container, the glass Pyrex, was still covered with this stuff, and I couldn't get it off the dishes, so I basically put that in, and all my dishes were, I couldn't get it off. I took it out with the high-end, the power stuff from Dawn, which they make this great stuff. It takes everything off. I sprayed it. It didn't touch it. I wound up having to use boiling hot water and scrub it with Dawn dish detergent for like 10 minutes to get at least the outside coating off. Put it back in to try to get the rest of it off. unsanitized, a two-hour-plus cycle with boiling hot, preheated water. I mean, you would have burned yourself. You wouldn't survive it. And I took it out 2.5 hours later, and the sludge was still there. Now, you are not going to tell me that that is good in any way, shape, or form. You are not going to try to convince me, because I will not believe you, that there is not some kind of petroleum distillate in there that is doing that, because there's no animal fat, there's no plant fat that does that. I've never seen that. Coconut oil doesn't do it. Olive oil doesn't do it. Hot oil, you know, doesn't do it. Nothing does that. So God only knows what's in that. Why would you do that when it is so much easier and safer, so you don't have listeria in that? That's why there's all these recalls on these kind of prepared raw, prepared pre-cooked. If you're going to have an animal, honestly, if you're going to have a family, aren't you going to cook? You really care? I mean, how much time does it take, right? I'm going to give you now some great options. Number one, a really high-quality kibble. A quality kibble that doesn't advertise all over TV, that you don't see all over. Don't ask the kid at PetSmart who's getting $1 or $2 a bag from the distributor what the best food is. Okay? There are stores that specialize. There are some in New Jersey. I've seen a couple of really good ones that specialize in this kind of stuff where they study it like I do. They're a homeopath, holistic, you know, people who are looking at things, who are concerned with nutrition and concerned with what's actually in that food. And, you know, that's where I think a lot of people fall prey to these, like, oh, look, it's on TV, it must be good. Really? I don't think that qualifies it. That just means somebody has enough money to piss away on the TV ads or marketing, and probably because it's not the greatest food. So I am not a proponent of any of these prepackaged, overpriced garbage, and I've seen quite a few of those. Now, if you want something good, there's like a Dr. Marty's. I know. I actually know Dr. Marty. The vegetables, those are fine. You got to cook them, though, because most of the times, I know that you can give raw, but remember that canines do not have the enzymes in their digestive tracts to be able to digest the cell wall, which is why if you give your dog corn or you corn, it goes right through. Corn in, corn out, you know what I'm talking about. Same thing with most vegetables. That's why if you give your dog something that's not cooked, like a carrot, you'll see little carrot pieces in your dog's poop. Yes, you will. I mean, I'm not saying to go do that for your Christmas present, but yes, you can definitely tell what the dog has eaten. So meats and things like that, or things that are heated up and cooked, it has to be either physically or chemically altered in order for your dog to be able to digest it. So if you get a kibble, don't go get in the, you know, I shouldn't, again, say the bad brands, but don't go, you know, to your local store, you know, your, Agway, and go buy their, you know, crumbun brand of garbage, because that is not what I'm talking about. But there are some really high-quality kibbles. The one I used, and I'm not going to tell you that one either, but the one I used, I've been to the company's factory in Minnesota several times. I've seen the food being prepared. I've seen it being cooked. And I'm telling you, I've never seen a hospital that was as clean as this place. Stainless steel that didn't have a spot on it. It was amazing. The food that went into this, that's why my dogs get the brand that I use. Because I've seen where it was. I've seen the food come in, the quality that they use. That's what my dogs get. And short of that, look up, and if anybody wants to give us a call or you want to email us, you can email us. We're happy to, you know, give you whatever information that you want. You can send it to the letter K, the number 9, behaviorist. behaviorists @gmail.com. And you can ask us questions. You can ask us dog questions, horse questions, cat questions, whatever. We will get you all the information back as best we can, or feature you on the show, feature your question. It's important for everyone to understand that when you are trying to find food for your dog, you have to consider things like, is it a very small breed? It doesn't matter what breed it is. I mean, certain breeds is a little different, and there is a slight difference, but basically, smaller dogs can handle higher protein because they're eating less food. Older animals should be typically on lower protein because the older they get, the harder protein is to digest. Large breed puppies growing should be on a lower protein than a small breed puppy growing because a large breed puppy can easily develop panosteitis, which is kind of think about growth pains if those of you who have long legs and did a lot of growing in your teen years. You know those pains sometimes when you're younger, depending on when you're going through your growth phases. So all of those things impact the way and the amount of what is digested. So you can think about that. But let's talk about, you know, hey, all right, I don't have the time. I don't want to, you know, go spend a ton of money or a ton of time on making my dog's food. I just want to use kibble. Okay, that's fine. But a lot of people also will tell me, well, my dog doesn't always eat it. You know, he doesn't seem like he likes it. I'm going to teach you something today you are going to love. It's going to be way less expensive, and it's going to give your dog more joy in eating what he enjoys, what she enjoys, and it's going to change your life. Well, maybe not. It's going to change your dog's life, though. All right. So you can actually either go online and make sure it's somebody who is an actual person, nutritionist, that deals with animals. There are people who do that. Allergists. There are actually allergists, dermatologists, who are great also. That actually, we're going to have a fantastic dermatologist from our practice on in the next few weeks. So that's going to be really, really cool. And you guys will love that. We're going to start having a lot of board-certified veterinarians on our show as guests to help you to really be able to ask those questions. So start sending us all those questions you have, whether it's behavioral, whether it's dermatological, allergy, whether it's an ocular eye issue, whether it is neurological, whatever it is, even oncology, if your dog is diagnosed with cancer. We have those experts all there, and they are going to be on our show. So send in those questions if you can, and we'll make sure we can try to feature one of your questions at least on our show, or we'll try to respond to you. So what we're going to do, so we're not using this sludgy garbage that's overpriced and has very oftentimes listeria or even E. coli and other fun things like that in there. We are going to make our own. Now, you can, if you're going to make it on your own, I do highly recommend the NuVet vitamins, N-U-V-E-T. I use these things. I love them. You can go online, look them up, and you can just look at the ingredients. But I'm telling you, my Ridgebacks, I just lost one, 14 and a half. I've lost most of mine are up over 14 years of age, up to 16 and a half. I'm not saying it's only the vitamins, but it certainly is a big part of it. It's anti-cancer. It prevents cataracts. It deals with hot spots. You just won't believe it. It's really amazing stuff. My guys have been on it for like probably 15, 17 years, something like that. Great stuff. It's NUVET.com, and I think they have a 15% discount code, which I believe is 86686 if you decide that, you know, you want to try it, but go online and look it up, NuVet.com, N-U-V-E-T. So that's the stuff. I will recommend that because I use that. But everything else I'm kind of leery about because I don't know where you are and what particular manufacturer. And if I don't use it, I don't know of it firsthand, I'm not going to recommend it. Now, the reason I mentioned about the vitamin supplements is if you're going to make your own homemade stuff, if you've ever noticed on the bag of dog food, you'll see where it says not only an ingredient list, you want to read that and make sure there's no corn, wheat, soy, BHA, BHT, byproduct, or propylene glycol, which is a component of antifreeze. You want to make sure that none of that is no red dye, number 40. No red dyes, no dyes. Why do you put dyes in a dog? Because dogs are colorblind. So why would you put colors into it? that are chemicals that are not good for them. So be aware of all these things, because these are the things that you should be looking for. Now, if you want to do a kibble, that's fine. I do kibble. It's just easier when my dogs are going to shows or service dogs that are traveling with their owners. You can't bring raw with you, but you can make your own dog food. You can make your own meal toppers. So a nice, easy thing is, let's start today with meal toppers. Let's say you want it. There's a great sale on, let's see, ground turkey, or a great sale on turkey breast. Not the deli stuff that has all the chemicals in it, but the stuff that's actually really good product, right? You can get that, and you can buy it when it's on sale. You can either freeze it or use it right away, but I'm going to give you some recipes after our break, and you will be able to make your own, save money, and your dog is going to love you. So stay tuned, because we have just one more break, and then we will be right back. And welcome back. As promised, we're going to continue on with the homemade dog foods and meal toppers. What you can do is get that turkey, get that chicken, whatever it is. Try to get, if you can, it's stuff without chemicals and preservatives. You can even get steak. You can get lamb, whatever kind of stuff there is. You can use any protein source your dog is not allergic to. And you can use the same one for 10 years. You can use different ones. Depends on what your dog can handle, okay? Every dog is different. Just be careful when you're switching them over. If you are switching them to something, adding a little white rice. Remember, white rice binds them up a little so they don't get diarrhea. And brown rice makes things go through. So veggies do the same thing, kind of pushes things through. So you take, let's say, your 2 pounds of turkey or your 2 pounds of chicken or whatever it is, and put it in a crock pot, a slow cooker. You can use a pressure cooker, too, if you have an Instapot. That works fine, too. I'm kind of a fan of the crock pots because it's slow and low. The vitamins tend to survive better. So put that in there. Go get yourself, and you can peel them or not, some carrots. Get a, you know, maybe 3 or 4 carrots. Get yourself a sweet potato, or if you don't want to use sweet potato, you can use some spinach. You can use some kale. You can use a little bit of white or brown rice in there. Put all your stuff into that, into the slow cooker, okay? Cook it all up, and you can alter the veggies. Try not to use too much broccoli and cauliflower because it can cause a lot of gas. But other than that, you can even, you know, go online and look up some things or ask your veterinarian. And then you mix that all up, cook it up, and now you've got a big, giant pile of this, and you go, thanks, Jan. I have a dachshund. How long is this thing? I could have put the dachshund, you know, next to this thing. The dachshund would be smaller than the amount of food I'm feeding it. But now what you do, if it's a small breed dog, I want you to go get yourself some of those little ice cube trays that, you know, the blue ice cube trays that you can get at the dollar store. Make sure they're not made in China, or whatever kind of little containers you want to use. And just scoop that stuff and just spread it out into those ice cube containers. And guess what you're going to do? You're going to freeze them. Put them into a doubled Ziploc or whatever kind of sandwich bag kind of thing, and make sure you get the freezer ones, or you can use a Pyrex container or whatever you feel like you want to use, all fine. So you can do that. Now, do that, let's say, the next week or a couple weeks later, you have, let's say there's chicken now on sale. Okay, great, do that. Do the same thing. Cook it up. Now, if you have a small dog or a medium-sized dog, that's going to last you at least a month, maybe longer. If you have a large dog, it might last you a couple weeks. But how hard is it to stick a package of meat in there? And, of course, you skim off the fat if you're using something that's a fatty meat. You're going to put that in there with different kind of vegetables or the same vegetables. And now what you do, you have the stuff all frozen in little ice cube trays in your freezer. And now you say, you know what, I want to give my dog a little treat. You take that, put a little hot water into it, so it kind of melts, and it's going to be this great gravy, and just pour that on, and your dog is going to go nuts, and I'll bet you that little cube might cost you 5 cents or 10 cents. Instead of spending $5 or $6 on a can, you're making your own, and your dog's going to love it. And you can obviously do the same thing if you want to cook for your pet. Try to do things that keep the vitamins in and give the dog the juices, too. What I do, I actually make that for my dogs, and then I drink the soup. So my dogs get the meat, I get the soup. But all the vitamins are going to be in that broth, too. So make sure you keep a little bit of that and let the dogs enjoy it. So this is a great way to save money, give your dog the joy of eating, and if you use different types of proteins and your dog can handle that okay, then clearly you can do it with salmon, you can do it with whitefish, just make sure there's no bones. You can puree it in a food processor, or you can just chop it up manually. You can do whatever it is that your animal particularly likes, but boy, oh boy, do they love it. And then you're adding that vitamin supplement, the NuVet, into it, and you will see your dog love it and look great. So I am so unbelievably sad that we unfortunately have to stop today, but we're going to do next week talking more about different disabilities and service dogs. We're going to talk about training for service dogs and therapy dogs. We are also, which is going to be really fun, hopefully having a really great guest. So send in all of your questions to K9Behaviorists, with an S at the end, at gmail.com, or call our 800 number, 855-449-9288. Best to email, because we can answer you any time of the day or night, and we are happy to help you in any way we can. Please tell your friends, your family about our show and our awesome network and all the great work that we all are doing to try to make your lives and your pets' lives and your family's lives better and brighter and healthier. Let's not forget that. I hope everybody has a wonderful, wonderful day, wonderful evening. Holidays coming up. Be smart. Be safe. Make it to the holidays. Don't do dumb stuff before the holidays. We just want everybody to be happy, healthy, and safe. God bless you all, and have a wonderful, wonderful week.